Coming up on TMS, Blimpy was fly free.
Study shows that Oreo cookies are as or more addictive than actual drugs.
Whoa. You should never fire your gun in your apartment.
Sharon Osbourne thinks something bad is going to happen.
Miley Cyrus offered some serious bread to direct a quote-unquote film.
Oh, jeez. Tom's Tech Time.
Your emails and more on this episode of Der Morning Streamin'.
Hey, kids, look what's new. A brand new cereal just for you. Twinkles, the new star-shaped cereal in the storybook package. See? Inside, delicious, crispy, crinkly stars. And outside, a real storybook. All about Twinkles, the magic elephant.
It's very distressing.
You're threatening me? You're threatening me with P? This is the Morning Stream.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to the Morning Stream. It's not at all distressing. It's a nice place. Warm and cozy and friendly.
Very distressing.
I haven't heard much from her lately. It'd be nice to get a little follow-up from
Pauline. I think that she's kind of laying low right now.
You think
Which is well-advised by her legal counsel.
Because remember, a couple of months, or not even months, like a month ago, she was speaking at that food convention, and then she got kicked out the last minute or whatever.
Was it that she got kicked out, or was it that they just didn't put her on the promotional things anymore?
Oh, that's right. She was keynoting. And she still was, but they quit advertising that she was keynoting.
That's right. They changed it from speaking at this convention, Paula Deen, to we've got clean bathrooms.
Mm-hmm. What do you suppose it costs to get Paula Deen to come keynote your convention? We should get her for Nerdtacular 2014.
Yeah, right now I bet she's a bargain.
Yeah, better deal than before. Well,
exactly.
Yeah. Well, we miss you, Paula. Why don't you do something weird so we can play it on the show? That'd be great.
Yeah, keep us posted on what's happening.
It's the Wednesday edition of the Morning Stream for October 16th, 2013. And it's just after 8 a.m., 8:08 to be exact, in the Mountain Time Zone, the only time zone that matters. Seen this video that went viral, speaking of Mountain Time, where dude runs around Salt Lake City, downtown Salt Lake, and gives $100 bills to homeless people? Have you seen this?
Oh, no, I have not.
Did you hear about this?
Wow.
It's a thing, and apparently that video is going crazy and gone completely viral, and there's a huge split among people as to whether or not
it's authentic.
Well, not that it's authentic. They think it's authentic. Okay. It's that they think that the motivations are weird. Like you'll have to see it to make your own judgment, obviously, but there's this kid, he's probably 20 something, and it's really nicely filmed. Somebody's got a real sweet SLR with video, you know, going. Mm-hmm. And he's rolling around town, walk up to a homeless dude, give him $100, and then capturing their reactions. And, you know, one guy falls to his knees and does some prayer for them, you know, and some other guy does, you know, is just all broken up about it, and some lady wants to give him a hug. And I recognize all the parts of town he's in, and he's genuinely down in there, like where all the homeless folks are and where that kind of whole area is. So that all looks legit. It's just this question of, look at me, well-off white male giving out money like it's nothing. Like he's the show-off, or I guess the thing under the scrutiny is him, not so much the plight of the homeless. Do you know what I'm saying?
Sure. It's the fact that he's filming this to say, look how magnanimous I am, versus just going out there with your $100 bills and doing it.
Right.
You know why? Yeah.
Right. And some are saying, well, no, it doesn't matter. Either way, this is a good thing. Who cares if he gets notoriety, and if it inspires others to do this, great. You know, like there's always these two arguments about things like this. And it's funny because we do a similar thing, although they're not $100 bills, and we don't usually talk about it, but me and Kim and the kids, every Christmas, we go down there to see the lights. There's always a huge light thing, you know, Christmas light thing downtown. And we take down just wads of ones, right? Maybe it's 30 bucks worth of ones or something. And everybody who looks like they need it, we give the cash to. Now, we do it to show the kids that, you know, even when one day someone's going, bah, don't give those guys money. They're all, it's just a racket. They're actually making $60,000 a year and dressing up like that. And they got a cell phone in one of those pockets. Like, people get real cynical about the homeless sometimes. And our goal is like, no, it just doesn't matter, you guys. If you, you know, you, to my kids, I mean, you guys should just give when when you can and when it makes sense. And, you know, here's a chance to learn this or whatever. But rolling around with like hundreds and giving multiple, I tried to add it up and I lost count. It was a bunch of money. Just giving all these people money. I can see where some would be like, oh, great, another white guy saving the world. Great. And then I can see why others might say, ah, great, good example. Nice job. So it's a two-edged sword. Double-edged sword, as the kids say. Double-edged. You ever seen a single-edged sword? Are there single-edged swords out there?
They're called like butcher's knives is a single-edged sword.
I guess a katana is a single-edged sword. Is it?
Doesn't that have... Oh, yes. Yeah, people are saying katanas. All right. Okay. So what does the katana have on the other side? Is it just a thicker part?
Yeah,
thicker,
like a dull end or something.
Yeah, that wouldn't hurt if you got hit with the dull end, would it?
Well, no. Yeah. Well, it might hurt if Michonne throws it or swings it hard enough.
Isn't that still an edge, even though it's not a sharp edge?
It's a good point. It's a good point. You guys, wait a minute. Brian has just broken this wide open. Hold on. So what constitutes... There is no such thing as a single-edged sword.
Yeah.
You've blown my mind! You have. There isn't. There's no such thing. There's no such thing as a single-edged knife.
It would be like a, you know, it would be like a perfect circle.
Yeah.
Would be a single-edged sword because it would have one edge that goes all the way around it.
I had a knife in here I was going to look at and just kind of give me a visual and I can't find it now. But yeah, like that's like saying, what's that like saying?
Wait, hair and beard guy in the tadpole found a Wikipedia article for single edge sword. So including things like the back sword, the saber, the scimitar, the Japanese sword, the dao.
They still have
another edge. It's not a sharp edge, but by its very nature.
So the phrase should be double sharp edge sword.
Right.
You can see why they shortened it, but our point stands. Wow.
Yes.
Nice job, Brian. You've changed the way I look at things. My perspective has been altered.
Win Fox, good point. Lightsabers, that's all one edge.
That's a good point. Lightsaber is the only single-edged sword.
Perfect.
Weird. All right.
The more you know.
This is great, dude. We're not even starting the show yet. We've already broken the universe wide open. Singularity time here. All right. So I caught up with Comic Book Men.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that documentary.
What is it? AMC.
Reality thing, yeah. Kevin Smith's joint. It's all, you know, those dudes over there. Bunch of smog cast. What's the name of
his name? Brian and Mike and, yeah, Smodcast.
Smodcast. I always want to say smog.
Smodcast.
You know, I watched the first season when it came out, too, and I'm finally catching up on this. It's on Netflix, so it's easy to just rip through it. And I'm walking away with the same problem I had with the first season. You want to know what it is?
Sure. What is it?
I love that there's a show where, you know, the focus is nerdy crap and comic books and action figures and stuff like that. And I think the guys that run the place are fine. I think Walt's great and all those guys are fine. It's great.
Mm-hmm. He's funny and I think generally I like him, but sometimes he can be kind of a dick.
Yeah, he totally. If there's a dick in the group, he's the dick.
He's the dick.
But my problem with the show isn't any of those things. All that stuff's fine. The interaction between people, even when I know it's being a reality show and editing things in favor of one personality over another, and you know, Ming is basically the
foil.
Yeah, the Meg of Family Guy basically is there. And that's fine, because I'm sure that's not quite like that in real life. But whatever. All that stuff's fine. I cannot stand the editing. Mm. The editing drives me crazy, and I'll give you an example.
Okay.
It's this thing where, and I know you can only do so much, and I understand, I got it, but I think there are better examples out there of this. But there'll be like somebody talking, and they'll be saying something like, yeah, I think this Mego representation of Spider-Man is probably the best, something, something, something. Just some, you know, conversation. Mm-hmm. And the camera will flip over to the other guy who's standing there trying to get a price or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he's making a face like he's laughing at some huge joke. Like he's going like this at the camera. And then it switches back over to Walt, who's still explaining a very sort of academic thing about the thing he's holding.
Sure.
Those moments, and I know they exist in pretty much all reality TV. It's like the ones where they they're playing sinister music and they're cutting between faces and the faces look like they're being all sinister, but really those were just like some weird downtime.
No, they were just exactly. They're just looking like that when somebody was responding to something else. So there was a fart smell in the room or something.
Right.
Like that.
Right. Yeah. Nothing was going on yet. Now everything is going on, you know? And I hate that. I really hate that. I don't know. Because to me it does two things. One, it's kind of just uncanny valley. It's like you would not in real life be laughing like an idiot when there's no reason to be doing that right now. Mm-hmm. And so therefore you're being portrayed in a light that isn't true and accurate. That's one thing. But it just makes me feel like I'm being yanked around. Like
it smacks of artificial suspense and artificial conflict and artificial It's very similar. My problem with it, kind of along the same lines, is they'll be sitting there having their conversation. Or actually, it'll be kind of this forced question that you know that they had to come up with, like a stack of these questions that they have to ask each other right before something happens. So who would you rather be with, Psylocke or Jean Grey? And then they're answering it. And then somebody comes up to the counter. Hey, I have an Iron Man helmet. Authentic Iron Man helmet I'd like to sell.
Yeah, and all of that is so prearranged.
And, you know, exactly. You know that they said, all right, so you get this. All right, go back in like you're coming back in the store. Wait for our signal. We're going to ask it like a question and, you know, make it look like you interrupted our conversation.
Right.
And, you know, it's the...
Right.
Yeah, it's exactly the same thing.
And it irritates me. It makes me feel like I'm being... that my intelligence is being insulted.
Right.
And it's too bad because otherwise I think it's a lot of fun and the subject matter is totally up my alley. So it just kind of frustrates me. Then here's the part that really put me over the edge. Sure. And I am not normally a fact Nazi because, dude, I mostly get my facts wrong. Okay. So I understand that this is a bit of the pot calling the kettle black here.
We screw up 8 times before most people get out of bed.
Right. Right. But when I was a kid... And my memories basically run from about my first memory. I was about 8. So let's say 1978 through, you know, now is kind of where my memory started for my life. Mm-hmm. And I remember very specifically 8 through about 15 when my dad was doing the video game thing. He was running arcades and, you know, buying machines from Japan. And we had a house. We had an arcade in the garage, basically. And then he had all these arcades around town and stuff. And it was great. And I know way too much about early video game, like classic coin-op stuff.
Sure.
So they bring in this big asteroids machine. And they're super stoked about it. And they're trying to decide if it's worth the $800 the guy's asking for it on the show, right? Mm-hmm. And it's a pretty primo-looking cabinet. It looks really good.
Yeah, I think I remember that episode.
Yeah, it looked great. And somebody goes, yeah, it came in. Asteroids was a really amazing game because it came in 1979. You know, this was after Pong, but it was before Space Invaders.
I mean, and you know, it's like, it's all right. Pause the recording. Let's look some information up, and then we'll cut back and make it look like we just know this stuff off the top of our heads.
Yeah, and this guy who says Asteroid 79, Space Invaders came later. Like it predated Space Invaders. My brain went, no. I think I had that game in my garage when I was 8 or 9. And we didn't get Asteroids till a good year or two later.
Yes.
So that doesn't jive. So I immediately paused it, went and looked it up. And sure enough, I was right. Asteroids 79, Space Invaders 78.
Mm-hmm.
But this guy is just like factoiding this out. And everybody in the comic shop's like, uh-huh, mm-hmm, yep. And I'm thinking, don't pay him $800 because that thing isn't the day he said it came out. And then I looked at myself and went, what are you doing? Why do you care? This is stupid. And then I quit worrying about it, and I just enjoyed it for what it is. So,
yeah.
Also, the podcast part of it is so fake and dumb. I just want to kill myself.
See, now that part, yeah. And boy, Kevin Smith, man. I love Kevin Smith. Don't get me wrong.
I do too.
But boy, is he an animated character.
I think that stuff is bogus. That's my whole point. Like, I don't think he's... This is some of that editing I'm talking about. Like, Walt's going... Well, yeah, when Jean Grey was this and that and the storm that and the Professor X, and they cut to just an interstitial of what Kevin Smith must be doing during Walt's conversation. Mm-hmm. And he's going with his big old head just bobbing up and down. Like, he's not doing that right now. This is from some other thing.
Right.
And then, you know, you'll have Michael laugh at something. And but it'll be laugh out of context. It's like, what are you laughing at, Mike? Nobody said anything. Like, I hate when they, I don't know what it is.
I think the fact is that if they really gave us reality of a comic book store, it would be a lot more boring than we'd expect. I think it it would just be mind-numbingly.
It's a lot of inventory. It's a lot of, pricing and just
today
boring.
Today on Comic Book Men, we're going to file a bunch of back issues of Spider-Ham, the Amazing Spider-Ham.
And none of this is a big mystery. They've said on their various podcasts, they talk about this stuff. So it's obvious when they're being themselves and when they're not. And they catch some genuine moments, and that's fine. It's like the Storage Wars shows.
Yeah,
people have come out and said, we plant stuff all the time. We stick things in the back of those things because we need content. And they know about it. It's not like the guy's going, holy shit, look at this giant treasure full of things I found. He knows.
Right. They're not going to open it up and say, oh, this one's empty.
Yeah.
All right, everybody go home.
And they're the worst at the one bit, which is that whole... So there's the two styles, right? There's the comic book men style, which is they're doing the little sit around the table, and that's kind of how they're telling the overall story. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of like holding the whole thing together. That's the glue of it. On Storage Wars, it goes between them digging through storage things and finding plants to them sitting in front of a camera, interview documentary style, reading lines off a card. And so when they're like... I didn't know it was in there, but I was bound to find out by the end of that day. Okay, that's a good one. Cut. Like, it's nobody's talking from their gut. Nobody's saying anything real in front of that part of the camera.
No, exactly. Exactly.
Anyway, whatever. Reality TV, dude. Doesn't exist.
I think that's why I like stuff like Survivor and The Amazing Race, because it's, the action, the drama is all part of the survival and the competition.
Right.
They don't need to manufacture conflict because it'll come up naturally.
Right. I mean, I think a piece of me, part of the reason I like Jersey Shore, even though I know a lot of that is instigated as well.
Sure.
But I think part of the reason I got so into that for so long, and right now, by the way, I can't even go near it. I've had my fill.
You're short out, huh?
I'm short out. But
aren't they done? They're still
done. They're done.
Okay.
But I couldn't watch the last two seasons. I was just like, okay, I think I've seen the pattern. I know what's going on here. But what I liked about it, I think what drew me to it was they were naturally buttholes, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
they would naturally have all kinds of conflict where people are getting thrown through walls and yelling terrible, horrible things to each other and chucking mattresses out of a building. And, they were doing some things that felt a little rote, but for the most part, they were naturally jackasses. So let them do their thing. Let the wild beasts go. And that struck me as at least more real than a bunch of guys digging through a storage vault or... Walt having the idea that they should go down and check out the haunted basement.
Mm-hmm. Those contrived. I don't like those contrived.
They kill me.
Stories. Yeah.
Now when they do the contest, like go to the auction thing and auction off a bunch of comic stuff. Now that felt, that's an auction. People are there. They're doing an actual auction and there's a competition between the two groups. That's the most real they ever get on there. And I'm fine with that. But that haunted thing, come on. Like the redheaded lady who comes in. Yeah, I'm a medium, and I can tell when there's stuff going on. She's got her little tricorder bullshit in her hand that can supposedly tell if ghosts are around. Give me a break. Anyway, whatever. It is what it is.
So speaking of which, when is the Frog Pants producers reality show coming out?
How much fun would that be?
That actually would be a lot of fun.
It'd be a lot of fun. But also the way those shows work is you got to put people in a house for 2 weeks and you just film straight.
Right.
And then... can anyone ever do that?
This is what happens when Tom Merritt stops being polite and starts getting real.
Oh my gosh. The problem with that, the problem with that scenario is? That would be so boring because we all get along so well. Nobody doesn't like each other. There's no inherent conflict. You'd have to put us into some really weird situations to bring that out in us.
And I wouldn't want that brought up.
I don't either. Yeah. I don't want to go away with that. And I have a friend online whose name I won't mention who was in a recent reality series that you probably even know.
Mm-hmm.
And this person was, without this person's knowledge, was portrayed as a complete jerkhead. But in reality...
Oh my God, no, I want to know who this is.
In reality, the person was not that at all and was shocked when saw the final edit.
Yeah.
And is irritated to this day that everybody online and everybody who's seen it is constantly harassing this person. saying what an ass you were on that show.
Oh, my God.
So that kind of stuff sucks. Like, everyone thinks Ming's an idiot on Comic Book Men.
Right, right. Cause just because he's edited to be an idiot.
Yeah. Right, because he's edited to be an idiot, you know?
There's one I'm watching right now called Fangasm. Which is, I think, Sci-Fi Channel. And it's, fortunately, it's not a competition. You know, it's seven interns who are all working for Stan Lee's kamikaze fan conference. Mm. And they're plopped in a house and they're just given tasks, you know, like given projects to do, like, all right, go promote this or go show up at this event or whatever. And apparently, Cheesy G, one of her friends is Molly, who's one of the people in this house.
Yeah.
And
when she says, is it more real?
I don't know. Maybe we need to ask Cheesy G to you know, get some details, get some information.
Let
from
us
her
know.
And say,
we'd like to know.
How does she feel about how she's being portrayed? Because right now they are editing her to be kind of the know-it-all, kind of snob, well, maybe not snobby, but kind of the you know, above everything,
kind of deal. Sounds pretty snobby. I'd be curious, because if that's a true thing or not, and maybe, and the way this thing works usually though is they have all kinds of non-disclosures and they can't talk about it till the show has its finished, like final episode.
Sure.
So yeah. I wonder if we could even get much out of her, but that'd be interesting to see.
Yeah, I'd be curious.
But people, you know, people are full of it. That's just the way it works. And they're making a lot of reality television. So there you go.
Warcrusher in the Tadpole says he met Ming and talked to him for 20 minutes a couple months ago. And he's a dude's really smart and nothing like how he's portrayed. He's just a very nice, likable guy.
Of course he is.
So
it doesn't shock me at all. I'm guessing they're all just normal, nice guys.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, Brian Johnson, everyone thinks you want his life because he apparently doesn't have to do anything but sit back and read his iPad. And
right, exactly.
Make quippy comments. But he's got I've heard his podcast and you should hear the stories he tells. He's a recovering prescription pill addict and all these issues and things. Yeah. Weird surgeries and terrible relationship experiences and. Like all this kind of stuff, real bad experiences with his parents, but you don't get that on the show. You just fun-loving beardy guy back there.
Yeah. Boy, last episode, I don't know how caught up you are, if you've seen any from this season or have seen the first episode of the season.
I've seen about five of the season, five or six.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the one that aired Sunday night, Lou Ferrigno. Lou Ferrigno wanders into the shop, of course.
Yeah. Randomly. Yeah.
Randomly. Uh-huh. No, I guess he was sent there by Kevin Smith to go help Brian get in shape. And so Brian and Lou Ferrigno hit the gym to do some pumping iron.
Wow.
But it's a great, you know, Lou Ferrigno, love the guy.
He's
great. Is just such a great, great guy. And he comes across so well on this.
He's better. I like him better than Schwarzenegger turned out.
Yeah, no kidding.
I think he's a nicer guy. Whatever.
And holy cow, you put a picture of Lou Ferrigno now against a picture of Lou Ferrigno in the 70s.
Yeah.
The guy is like 61 or something.
Yeah.
He looks amazing. He looks just like he did
he really
35
does.
Years ago, 40 years ago.
Yeah, he does. He's cool, man. With his hearing thing, I'm telling you, there are people, you could learn something from Lou Ferrigno.
Right.
That is, don't make him angry.
Right. Cheesy G's in the Tadpole. We'll have to.
You wouldn't like him.
We'll get a call in or something at some point and get her to call in and talk about. Talk about Fangasm.
All right. Well, in the meantime, we got Daryl business to take care of. let's hit the showers, everyone. It's Stump a Trek Nerd, brought to you by
Same Sex Mary. We're traveling across all of your favorite Western states with just enough time to return to Las Vegas, where we'll be performing at the Life is Beautiful Festival with Vampire Weekend, Alabama Shakes, and our best pals, Rusty Maples. Go to facebook.com/samesexmaryband for more details.
Vampire Weekend, that's the one where you run with the gun. Got running with the gun. I got a gun. I'm running with the gun. How's it go? That song, Vampire Weekend song.
Are you thinking of Young the Giant or
Gun with the gun, running gun? I don't know.
You're thinking of Foster the People. You're thinking of Pumped Up Kicks.
Oh, yeah. That's what I'm thinking of. Well, that's a different band.
Yeah, it's a different band.
Here's the problem. Everybody sounds
I knew this was coming as soon as I saw Vampire Weekend.
That's because everybody wants to sound like those guys. I hate it. And right now there's a spate of wannabe Mumford and Sons bands.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is what happens. Something's big. Like it comes out. How somebody comes out, Nirvana, whoever, and everybody goes, me too, and they all want to make a exact sounding band. So there you have it. How's that song go, though? Something gun, run, running with the gun.
Yeah, you better run out from my gun. All the other kids with the pumped up kicks, you better run.
Better run. And then the kicks, they're talking about the ones where you have the kicks, pumps.
The pumped up, yeah, exactly. The was it Puma that had the pump?
Yeah.
No, the Nike pump.
That's way too much hipster oil smeared all over that song for me to hold with it. It's so hipstery. You gotta put pumped up kicks in there. Really? Really in 2013? Come on, man.
The Reebok pump. That's what it was. It was Reebok, yes.
They all did that dumb thing. Pumps. Speaking of pumped up kicks, it's Daryl Skeels on the line. Hi, Daryl.
Hello.
Unless they were talking about the... Oh, the what? Sorry, go ahead.
My son told me that the pumped up kicks thing was was a drug thing.
Oh, is it?
Drug reference.
Oh, no.
It's talking about how the... some kids, you know, had the money and then they had the nicer tennis shoes and the other kids didn't. And that's why there's the violence and
so,
all that stuff.
Of course, that's why. It's that simple. Boil it down. Here's the other thing. Maybe puffed up kicks or pumped up kicks are the cereal. And it's just mom approved or kids.
Horrible cereal.
Kids like kicks for what kicks has got. Moms like kicks for what kicks is not.
Wow.
Write that down. All right,
put
Daryl.
That on a t-shirt.
It's good to have you back, sir. Time to stump you with a hard trivia question about Star Trek. It's how we do it. Here you go. Badger and Skinny Pete love themselves some meth. You haven't watched that show yet, have you?
No.
Okay.
That's funny. Like funny way to begin the question. All right, good.
Yeah, kind of. That's the whole thing. See ya. Goodbye, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow. They also love Star Trek. They are having a discussion about Star Trek in one episode where they discuss transporters. Several characters are mentioned here. Which character does not... He hasn't seen this. Although I think you've seen the bit.
He's seen the video, the cartoon.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is the only bit I've seen.
Okay, good. Several characters are mentioned. Which character does not get mentioned in this discussion? Hint, this counts only their transporter discussion. Badger's fan fiction with the pie-eating contest is not part of this question. So here you go. A... Captain Kirk was not mentioned. B. Yeoman Rand was not mentioned. Or C. McCoy not mentioned. Or D. Spock not mentioned. So one of those.
So this is not the pie eating contest. Badger does.
Discussion.
It's when they're just having a discussion about transporters.
When did that happen? Was that different? It was a different episode.
It was a different episode, I think. Yeah.
Well, this won't help Daryl at all then. It's guessing time on Stump a Trek Nerd with Daryl Skeels. All right, so Kirk, Rand, McCoy, Spock, weigh those in your hand carefully as we forgot to talk about what we're eating, but we'll do it on the fly right here.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
Let's test something out of the big bag of hoo-ha. I ate all that seaweed yesterday.
Did you? Snack on it, but I still have a lot left.
Let's do the Angry Birds tube.
Okay.
And the the Choco Banana Fruit Box, Juice Box.
Let's see.
Choco Banana.
Okay. Yeah, I think I've got the Choco Banana.
It looks like three bananas being dropped into a vat of chocolate.
Yes. Oh, there we go. And on the straw side, it actually says Choco Banana.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you're right. The other side is Japanese.
Yes.
They put it on that side and the English side because no one where he bought this is English speaking, so who cared? And then the other one is the Tau Tas Pop Angry Birds, like an Angry Birds branded. They look like little snacky chip things.
They look like kicks is what they look like.
Yeah.
What's this on the back? Is it a tattoo? Is it an Angry Birds tattoo on the back?
These are the pumped up kicks, Brian. Are they is that a tattoo?
There's something.
All right, hold on. It's a coupon.
It's a puffy sticker. There's something in there with it.
Hold on. I used to love this kind of thing when I was a kid.
It's a magnet.
Is it a magnet?
It is.
Yeah, it is.
Wow, cool.
Great, but don't put that by any hard drives or anything. It'd be bad.
An angry magnet.
I should tell you about the time my son, he was real little, but he just spent spent like a half an hour sitting in front of a computer screen rubbing a magnet on the screen. Ruined it.
Oh, it makes pretty colors.
Well, it was a CRT. I don't know how that acts on LCDs now, but CRTs just got destroyed when you did that.
I think I think that these Angry Birds things are called Tatas.
Angry Tatas. I've had some experience with those.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Waste so much time on talking about comic book men. That sounds like the story I wanted to hear.
So let's pop open this here business.
Tatas. Yeah, I totally think that says Tatas.
Oh, come on. There we go. Ooh. I'm not sure about the odor.
Let's see what the guy says. Angry, spicy. No. Let's see here.
We're going to wash it down with the juice bucket. That's how we're going to do this. Or the Choco Banana bucket thing. Or bucket. Why am I saying bucket? Box. Doesn't look like a bucket at all. Daryl?
Choco Banana Milk. There it is. Coco Re-Pop Angry Birds Edition Snack.
Daryl, where do you stand on reality television, by the way?
We each have different flavors, by the way.
We do?
Mm-hmm.
Of what? The drink?
Angry Birds thing.
Oh.
Yeah, so one of us has spicy seafood, one of us has cheese, and one of us has popcorn flavor.
I don't. What's the yellow one? I don't even know.
I have cheese.
Do you? How do you know?
These are like cheese pop.
Oh, here we go. Popcorn flavor is mine.
There we go. Down at the bottom. I've got spicy seafood.
Okay. Great. Great. That's what you told the doctor when you went in there to see him about your stomach ache. Okay, here we go.
Oh, the smell of the spicy seafood.
They all stink. Ew, these are, these smell like seafood, but they taste, my popcorn flavor ones don't taste like popcorn. They literally taste like Kix. We've been talking about Kix. They taste like Kix. Yeah. I'm not making that up.
There's a spicy seafood taste to this. It's not bad, though.
Is it?
All these cheese things are like Cheetos, but they're kind of spicy, but not in a bad way. They're really good.
Interesting.
These are better than Cheetos.
Really?
Throwing them for the dog. Let's see how many we can get the dog to catch in succession.
Okay, go for it.
We'll watch your camera. One.
Two.
Three. We'll just do five because I think she's going to catch all five. Oh, there's the miss. There's the miss.
She made
lost
three.
After three.
All right. Mm-hmm. Here, let's play this while we're eating these. Angry Birds theme, one of the great modern video game themes. As much as I don't actually like that game, and I know Daryl did and played the hell out of it, but I think their theme song is awesome. All right.
All right.
Choco banana. Here we go. Wash it down. I'm a little worried about this one because how does this keep? Oh, that
this
isn't good.
Go with cheese very well.
That's quite good.
Wow, you're quick.
You know what? That's good.
Oh, that's really good. Wow.
Oh, yum.
Yeah, I'm drinking all that. It's like a melted...
I'm not sure it tastes like chocolate or bananas, but it is good.
I'm getting banana for sure. Chocolate, not so much.
Tastes like a smoothie, like a chocolate banana smoothie.
Yeah, it's really good. All right. Thank you, Taka Chica Chichi, or whatever it says on top of there. And our fantasy coin buddy for sending it over.
All yes.
Right, Darryl, the thing is...
Yeah.
I am actually eating some real chocolate and a real banana at the same time that I'm drinking this.
Whoa.
Really?
So that's Inception level stuff right there.
All right, now the dogs are getting irritated. You guys go over here.
Yeah, get the hell out of here, dogs. All right, Daryl, we got any birthdays to celebrate?
Well, let's see. Where am I?
Oh, sorry.
What was that?
It was a Pac-Man thing, but I didn't mean to push it. Oops.
Okay.
I have another one, too. There you go.
Since I won't be here starting tomorrow.
Oh, that's right. It's tomorrow, starting tomorrow.
Oh, I thought it was next week.
Yeah, I forgot. No, Daryl.
Well, it is next week, too.
Mm-hmm.
Can we tell people where you're going, or do you want to keep that a secret so you don't get mobbed?
Oh, you can tell them. Nobody will know who I am.
Disneyland. He'll be at Disneyland.
Yep. Yay. I'm going to be there. I've decided that I'm going to go to Disneyland the day before BlizzCon.
Oh, look at you. Thursday?
Thursday, because Sunday I leave super early in the morning.
Mm. Yeah, we leave that day too.
Which is a bummer because I think there is a big. Yeah.
And you've never been, right? Or have you been?
Me?
Yeah, Disney.
Oh, I've been there a million times.
No, but Brian, have you been to Disney? Oh, no, it was Tom Merritt I was talking to. He's never been once.
Tom Merritt's never been to Disneyland?
Nope, so he's going this
That's
year.
Insane.
He's going to go that Sunday with DizCon
with the crowds. Oh, wow.
Yeah, that'll be good.
That's a great day to go.
He's never gone, and he has a fantastic story, although I'm sure we're not going to ask him about it today. It's a long story, but a great story about how his parents promised him Disneyland and never gave it to him.
Oh, no.
Yeah. He was telling me during the autopilot recording.
Oh.
Which, by the way, is out today. We'll talk more about that when Tom comes in.
Wow.
Anyway, Daryl.
This is sad.
Birthdays. Who's having one?
Yeah. Well, way out on October 26th, it'll be Seth MacFarlane's birthday. Oh. He'll be 40 years old.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
I thought he was already 40. Jeez, MacFarlane.
Nope.
Hmm. Well, that's great. We should celebrate. So is he going to, when's that going to, let's see, he's going to be 40. That means that, hold on, I'm just trying to think. That means when he did, in 1999, when they launched Family Guy. Yeah, 99, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Sounds about right.
He would have been, geez, just a 12. Young, 12. No, he'd have been like 20, 25, 24. Bastard. Anyway,
yeah,
it's interesting. Great, very nice. Happy birthday to him. He was on Voyager. We should mention that's where he was, right?
Oh, actually, Enterprise. He was on Enterprise.
Enterprise. Sorry, I knew it was one of the newer ones. Couldn't remember for sure.
Yeah, he played an engineer named Rivers in two episodes.
I still think he should. He should be the guy that he's got enough money now. He should be the guy that makes the new Star Trek series happen. I think that would be good. He's a huge fan, so why not? Well, good, good. Happy birthday to him. Back to the question. So which one of these people do you think wasn't mentioned in this thing you've never seen? Was it Kirk, Yeoman Rand, McCoy, or Spock?
I think I did see this one. Mm. And I think you mentioned that McCoy hated the transporter and that Kirk and Yeoman Rand were, well, I'm not going to say, but they were doing something. And
during transportation?
Mm.
I don't remember.
I don't remember either.
What they were doing.
I forgot there were two conversations about Star Trek. So,
yeah,
shows what I know.
So I guess since all those people are all involved in this story, I guess that leaves out Spock.
All right. Well, let's find out if you're right. Is it Spock?
Congratulations!
Again,
you're a winner.
Jeez, Daryl, amazing this week. Spock. Spock is not mentioned in this discussion. He does, however, play a large part in Badger's fan fiction. Here's a clip from that discussion. Here you go.
Good.
I'm on the Starship Enterprise, macking on Yeoman Rand while being joined with the Disruptors back on Talos 4 or whatever.
What do you think all those sparkles and shit are? Transporters are breaking you apart, man, down to your molecules and bones. They're making a copy. That dude who comes out on the other side, he's not you. He's a color Xerox.
So you're telling me every time Kirk went into the transport, he was killing himself?
Hmm?
So over the whole series, there's like 147 Kirks.
At least. Dude, yo, why do you think McCoy never likes to beam nowhere? Because he's a doctor, bitch. Look it up. It's science.
That might be the one of the best audio clips we've ever had as part of this segment.
That's pretty good. Pretty good indeed. All right. Well, Daryl is the Trek nerd.
I saw that one.
You saw that one. I think you're right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Trek nerd on Twitter. Follow him over there, folks. He's got stuff to say. He's also on This Week in Trek at thisweekintrek.com. He will now, what's the word I'm looking for? He will now present us with a question as to whether this is an alien or a mineral.
Look, an alien!
They're minerals.
All right, go.
A lunagen.
I'm going to say mineral.
I'll say alien.
And it's a mineral.
Damn it. Don't want to talk about it.
The tide has turned.
Why, it's the news.
And it's brought to you by Comic Coast to Coast, right here on the Frog Pants Network. I was trying to do that in a Dunaway voice. Comics Coast to Coast. Get the latest at comicscoasttocoast.com today.
Yeah.
Musgrove.
I mean that voice.
That voice right there.
Musgrove.
Yeah, Brian makes a point.
Musgrove.
There you go.
Pointing at his
Comics throat. Coast to Coast is great. You should listen to it, folks. It's great.
Yes.
College study. Brand new college study finds Oreo cookies are as addictive as drugs are. If you ever have been unable to stop yourself from eating too many Oreo cookies, it may not be your fault, Brian. Oh, great. Let's take the blame away from Oreo eaters. Great idea.
Right, exactly.
In our ever-growing society.
I can't help it. I'm addicted. It's a sickness, what it is.
It's a sort of anti-personal responsibility road we're on here. A college study says one of America's favorite desserts is just as addictive as drugs in lab rats. A study by students at Connecticut College. I just like to say Connecticut.
Connecticut.
Found... The quote at the end is the best part. Found that when the rats ate Oreos, they formed an equally strong association with the cookies as when other rats were injected with cocaine or morphine. That's a little weird because cocaine and morphine are on the opposite sides of the drug spectrum. One's a heavy stimulant. The other one's a major downer. So I don't know why those would be the two that you would use. And I don't feel like Oreos produce both of those two extremes.
I wouldn't think so. No.
Oreos just fill me with regret. They don't make me feel high. Additionally, researchers found that the cookies activated even more neurons in the rats' brains' pleasure centers than the addictive drugs did. That's kind of interesting. How do you think? Do you think they break them apart and eat the middle first? How do you think a rat eats
the rats?
Yeah. How do you think he eats?
That's
his
a good
Oreo?
Question. Are they giving him like a little miniature size? Oh, and are they giving him a little a mug of milk to dunk him in? Because that's the thing. I cannot, sure I'll eat an Oreo alone if I have to, plain if I have to, but I'm more likely to say, no, I don't want those Oreos if there isn't any milk candy.
Only the chocolate ones, though. Like the
the chocolate ones.
Straight up classic Oreo. That's the way you have
to. Yes, exactly. Not the kooky ones that we've been getting from Mary.
No.
A weird Tigger.
Saw a cool life hack, though. You take a fork and you poke it into the soft middle of the end of the Oreo.
Spackle, right?
Right, the spackle. And then you dip the entire thing in milk. Never has to touch your fingers. You never miss any of it in the milk.
Oh, wow, really? And it stays?
Yep, eat it like that. It's a pretty good idea. I feel like I'd eat more of them that way, so I got to not do it. But
see, I'm okay with with a quarter of the Oreo not going in the milk because that's the quarter that my fingers are holding on to. Totally fine with that.
Sure.
I can live with 3/4 of the Oreo being dunked in the milk.
You're not that greedy.
I'm not that greedy.
I understand.
Okay. Sure. I mean.
Well, they say this. There's research. They say it supports the theory that high fat / high sugar foods stimulate the brain in the same way drugs do. This is according to neuroscience professor Joseph Schroeder, heir to the piano playing cartoon kid fortune. I said in a school press release, it may explain why some people can't resist these foods despite the fact that they know they are bad for them. So there you have it.
So really, it's not Oreos. It's any sugar and fat is addictive.
Yeah. They could have sat those rats down.
Your body craves it.
Yeah. They could have said, here's some beef and here's a bunch of fat on it or something. Maybe.
Right. Exactly.
The rats need their dessert like we do as well. Kathy, on the line there. How you doing?
Hey, Scott. How's it going?
Hey, how's it going, Brian? You sound great.
Hey. Is that Cheesy G?
Yeah, it is.
Hey.
Yeah, hey.
Yo.
So you got this friend in a reality show.
Oh, yeah, Mon McIsaac.
Okay.
Yes, over on Fangasm.
So has he said much about, like, the actual reality of the thing? Versus like,
well, the reality show is sure making her look to be a woman, making her out to be a woman.
So if they've gone as far as to take your man friend and make him look like a woman, then maybe there's something.
Great
afoot.
Makeup, great chromosome change.
Sure,
right.
Sure. So how is it for your friend? What's it like?
Yeah. As far as I know, because I haven't seen her past week or something, but she said everything's been actually edited together. Great. Very true to actually what happened. There are a couple things that are kind of left out for time, but she said it's actually pretty damn close to truth.
Okay, so some of these shows do an okay job. Sounds like this one's doing an all right job.
Yeah, and like at one point she'd had her rant in the first episode in the hot tub or something about I think it was sexism or something like that. And she said that basically no one had any idea how to respond to that in the thing. So that's how it kind of went from there.
Oh wow! All right. So wait, they're in hot tubs? What's the show called? What is this?
Fangasm.
The word is Fangasm. F-A-N. Okay.
All right. What channel's doing this?
See, I downloaded it. So.
Oh, I see. So you get it on the internet.
What was your question, Scott?
What channel?
A Syfy.
On Syfy? Yeah. Okay. All right.
Syfy, yeah.
So, I just woke up like 10 minutes ago. So.
That's fine. So Stan Lee is in it, right? Like he's the lord over all he sees in this show, right?
Lord man.
Okay, he's Lord Man. He was in an episode I just saw of the Comic Book Man yesterday, and that one actually felt the one like more one of the more honest ones. Because it didn't. It wasn't like he just wandered by. Hey, you guys, I'm Stan Lee, and I was just checking out your comic. That didn't happen. They like made a big deal that he was coming. They shut the store down. They did photo ops. Like it was a big deal that he was coming over. And that one felt like kind of a more real one. And he seemed to be sort of off the leash. He wasn't being told what to say or wasn't reciting lines or anything, which was kind of nice. So one would hope that would carry over nicely into this Fangasm business.
Oh yeah, and I know that at least from what I heard, if I remember correctly, with the George Takei episode. Which also the first one. I mean, he like basically hung out and chatted with them for an hour. And wow. You don't see that from the thing. So everyone's all excited and happy and yay and stuff. And there are people ripping on Molly and a few others online, of course, because it's the interwebs.
Yeah,
of course. How she didn't have a great enough reaction to him showing up. It's like, actually, she did. And she was like,
it's funny how people pick out, you weren't excited enough when George Takei came in the apartment.
That's why I don't think I want to be on a reality show. People think they know who you are. And it's just this tiny little piece of you. They have no idea who you really are, but they think they do.
Yeah.
And, you know, this would be a weird time to be on anything. Imagine, if you will, Fantasy Island, right? And I don't know, the guy that played Paunch, Eric Estrada, comes on for his guest spin. If the internet existed then, just imagine the way that people would just tear him up. You know what I mean? Like, we forget that the time we live in now, you could apply it to any other time and just it would just be as ugly or worse. And these guys at least could sort of escape from all of that. And they didn't have constant scrutiny online. And with reality shows like this and this stuff being so ubiquitous and that stuff trying to feed directly into the geek culture at large, we're a bunch of rabid animals sometimes. And, you know, you get torn apart or at the very least you get pigeonholed as a very specific person or personality type. And your life is so much more vast and complex than that.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah, you just get boiled down to a stereotype. That's what I was worried about with Molly is because they are kind of making her, with the editing, making her out to look like kind of a know-it-all and a little bit, you know.
A little snooty pants.
Oh, yeah, mine was the best or things like that. And I'm sure, like I said, I'm sure it's mainly in the editing. So,
yeah, she's on a way. She's known to be very outspoken. She has her geeky peacock website and everything. She blogs about gender equality, misogynism, and all that stuff all the time. So she does like to get her opinions out there, but sometimes, well, I guess apparently the other people on the show don't always have anything to actually say for those scenes.
Yes.
So it's like, well, all I can do is fill it with her time.
Right, exactly. See, I would come off as this guy because you know how I don't like silence. I can't do it. So if I'm in a room where nobody's talking, or they are uncomfortable about answering something, I'm going to say something no matter what. I'm going to say, look, my dog won't eat off a plate like I did that time at Nerdtacular. It's like, I can't stand it. I can't stand the silence. So then I would come off as a dick in the editing because I'm the only one saying anything.
Oh, I'd be rambling. I would be always rambling.
Yeah, always rambling.
Especially keep in the hot tub. Rambling. I mean, I'd be awkward.
Kathy, it's always a pleasure. Stay out of the, don't eat a urinal cake and we'll catch you next time. Bye now.
I'll try.
So here's the funny thing about the word misogynistic.
Yes.
I can't hear it without thinking about a massage.
I know.
Yeah. Isn't that weird?
Yeah. It's like somebody who's misogynistic, really good at giving massages.
Someone's just obsessed with them. Can't get enough of them. I don't know.
Oh yeah. I had a friend who went to college for misogyny.
Yeah.
She's got her own practice now.
She's great. Brings her own table around.
That's right. Yes. Yeah. She has a misogyny table.
Right. That's bad. In other news, David White shoots neighbor through the floor while playing around with a gun in his apartment. Tennessee man.
That's
his power.
Able to climb over the fence at Graceland on a regular basis. Excelsior.
There you go. Stereotype to your creepy people that love Elvis. Nice job.
Right. Yes. They have to be.
Isn't that where Vince Gilligan's from, is Tennessee?
It's Tennessee.
Oh, really?
Tennessee. Do your voice.
Maybe, this guy is David White guy. So I could, his name ain't Walter, but I could come up with a show about him and living in his house. And he's shooting people through the floor of the apartment complex.
I think you've given him more of a, like the owl lisp from the Disney movies than he
has. I think so, yeah. Yeah.
I think you're probably right.
It's evolving. The impersonation is evolving.
This kid, age 22, I'm going to call him a kid. That's right. I don't care if he's an adult.
Sure.
Told police he was playing around with a weapon at about 11 p.m. Sunday in his Nashville apartment. The gun discharged and a bullet shot through the floor and into the apartment below. Heather Gutremont.
Gutremont.
Thank you. Who lives below White, was asleep in a bed and got hit in the shoulder with the bullet. According to the arrest warrant obtained by the Tennessean. That's a paper, I guess.
Yeah, the Nashville Tennessean. Sure. I've been there. I've installed software at the Tennessean.
Oh, crazy. She suffered significant damage to her shoulder, but is in stable condition. Her husband, Vincent, told News 2 that their one-year-old child was sleeping 6 feet away from where the bullet hit his wife. So dodge that bullet, kid. That she didn't. That's kind of scary. If she'd gotten killed, really that guy would have felt real bad.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, he should feel bad either way, but there's that. All right.
Just playing around with the gun.
Just
goofing
off.
Just tossing it up in the air and catching it.
Horsing around.
Drawing the beer.
Chairman J. Parnell Thomas of New Jersey opens an inquiry into possible communist penetration of the Hollywood film industry.
It's Celebrity Poop, and it's brought to you by
Sword and Laser, the show that takes fantasy and science fiction reading to levels you never thought possible. Join Tom Merritt and Veronica Belmont for each episode, and let your fiction hang out. Subscribe at swordandlaser.com today.
Excellent. Sharon Osbourne. It's a yes from me. Right? Is that who she is?
Yep, that's the one.
You got to find that file. Here it is.
It's a yes from me.
There you go. She says the America's Got Talent stage is a death trap.
Whoa.
Sharon Osbourne is blasting NBC, calling the network a disgrace for ignoring a makeup artist who allegedly suffered serious injuries on the set of America's Got Talent. TMZ broke the story. Sharon's former makeup artist, Jude Alcala, is suing the Peacock, meaning NBC, claiming he fell through a hole. Oh, this is a dude. Fell through a hole in the AGT set, breaking his femur and damaging his shoulder. Sharon is going on the attack. Oh, yeah. She's pissed. She says, quote, it's the worst stage in the entire world, unquote.
Well, I doubt that very much, Sharon Osbourne.
No hyperbole at all. Just a common sense statement.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I can name a couple of stages. Remember that one in, was it Chicago, was it? There was some concert and it like crushed like 30 people or
collapsed.
Something.
Oh, collapsed. Yes, yeah. Right. That's a worse one.
Yeah, I'd call that a worse stage than the one you're talking about. She continued, quote, some guy designed a stage set with a hole in the middle. Somebody has to pay the price.
That's something you could like raise people up through it. You know, you put the fog machine out and then you raise somebody up in the center of the stage.
Mm-hmm. It's exactly right.
Yeah, some guy designed, I don't know who this crazy madman is, designing a stage with a hole in the middle.
That's incredibly insane. And somebody said to her, Sharon, is this the worst stage ever made? And she said,
it's a yes from me.
All right. That's it for her.
Yeah.
She's gone. That's a yes for me. Miley Cyrus was offered $1 million.
Mm.
That seems low because she's doing fine, but whatever.
Yeah.
To direct a porn film. Not be in it, Brian.
Yeah. To direct it.
Not to be in it. By the way, have you seen the photo of her where she's just smiling on camera for once without acting like an idiot?
Without sticking her tongue out or
anything? But all of her makeup within the reach of her tongue is gone. Have you seen this?
It's all been licked away?
Yes.
No, please tell me you've got a link to this somewhere.
Licked. Hold on.
No way.
I got this right here.
Oh, my God.
Licked away. Here we go. Here we go. Found it. Images of Miley. There it is. This is a hoot.
I love the fact that that's actually like a thing you can look up, like a thing you can search for.
Yeah. No, totally. Okay. I'll put it in the chat and then everyone can see it.
All right. Did you put it in the
tadpole?
Oh, there it is. Okay. Cool.
Yeah. Click on that. This is her. That's literally her face. Let's not touch stuff.
That is the best thing ever.
It really is the best thing ever.
So obviously she's reapplied her lipstick.
Yeah. But she didn't think, and probably the camera probably over-accentuated where the missing makeup is.
Oh my God.
But
that
look
is
at that.
Fantastic.
Because she's been going the whole night. I think that is so funny to me. Anyway.
Is it just what you look like after dancing with Molly?
Yeah, every time. She's been offered this money to direct a porn, not be in it. Says, quote, this is the offer, part of the offer says, quote, we believe that as an empowered 21st century woman, You are the ideal choice to show the world our vision as an artist in the world of adult entertainment. GameLink would like to offer you the very lucrative opportunity to direct an adult film, giving you full creative control for $1 million.
GameLink?
GameLink, yeah.
What's GameLink?
Probably some offshore money shelter bull crap name. Let's find out. Searching for GameLink.
Let's see. GameLink. Oh, here we
adult
go.
Adult movies, DVDs, porn, VOD. What's VOD? Porn, VOD?
Video on demand.
Oh, sex toys and adult video. Great.
Hmm.
Yeah,
I don't see any games.
No,
I'm looking. I'm scanning the site here.
Odd.
Oh wow! Look at that's an interesting thing. Scroll all the way to the bottom.
I haven't gone to this. What site are we talking about?
The GameLink.com. Yeah.
Hold on. Am I going to regret this?
You're going to see some boobs.
All right. Where am I going? What am I looking for?
GameLink. Scroll all the way to the bottom.
I can't get past their splash page. What?
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's asking me to click on enter right. for the gay mall. Oh, I don't want the gay mall.
Never mind then. All right.
It won't let me scroll. They have literally put up a thing that I... Okay, hold on. Now I'm at the bottom.
Hold on. I'm going to see if I can do... If I can just give you that image. Here we go. I'm going to put an image in the Skype chat for you to click on.
All right, because that didn't...
Don't worry. It's
oh,
safe.
Gosh.
Doesn't that look like part of Jar Jar Binks' costume?
Yes. Don't you want to put eyes on it? I do.
Yes, totally.
I want to put eyes on that. All right, chat room, we're not going to tell you what that is.
I think I can put that in the chat room without... There's nothing... There's yeah, nothing.
Put that in there. It's fine.
Yeah, there's nothing not safe for work about that picture.
No, well... Well... Maybe. Your boss walks by and goes, what the hell's that? And you have to explain yourself.
Yeah. All right.
I want to put eyes on it. All right. I totally do.
Irony man, come on. We'll doctor that
yeah,
up.
Yeah, get on that, dude. You got a job to do. You've got one job. Come on.
Yes.
Put that
together. How could you, as a man, use that thing and not just laugh yourself silly?
Misa, like you.
Oh,
there's a funny, someone posted a Vine GIF. That's pretty funny. Or Oreos. Look at that one. Anyway. Sponsored today by TweakedAudio.com. Tweaked Audio, the best earbuds I've ever had in my ears. Engineered for durability, noise reduction, and compatibility. Get your pair today at TweakedAudio.com with the code STREAM. That'll get you 33% off. Go get it now. TweakedAudio.com. Ladies and gentlemen, time for a break.
Yes.
Brian's going to play music for us. I don't know what it is, but I can't wait to hear it.
I don't know what it is either. All right, this one's going out to Luigi. By the way, I want to throw out big happy birthday and well wishes and howdy doodies out to Laura, whose husband, I believe, had a birthday. Let's see. No, they had their third anniversary today. So happy anniversary to Laura and her husband, Jim.
Also happy birthday to Mike on Twitter. He's also 40 today.
Oh, cool. Happy birthday, Mike.
Just noticing.
And then also, good luck in the Operation Daniel, a.k.a. Muroy Jenkins in the Tadpool, who's having a vasectomy surgery today. Those are people who had requests up today that aren't going to get played.
Don't they do those now where they don't even put you to sleep? You just kind of watch the doctor do it? Isn't that the deal? It's just a local and he's just down there working
away? Yeah, when I had mine done, it was completely local. I was awake the whole time and I even smelled the burning when they cauterized it.
Oh, that's great.
The vas deferens.
I do not have to do this because...
I don't know what doctor pulled out a Bic lighter and he's like,
I dropped my joint. Yeah, I don't...
That's right.
My wife had a thing done where it all happened on her end. So now I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to do it now. Thank goodness, because I don't think I could deal with it. But anyway, continue on.
All right. Anyway, so let's get to a request going out to Luigi. By the way, quick note about requests. Send them to tmsrequests@coverville.com. That's the email address that you'll send your requests to. But make sure you do it at least a couple weeks in advance. Dale, our intern, goes through these the best he can, I think on a weekly or biweekly basis. And sometimes if you get those in really late, they don't make it into the spreadsheet until after that day has passed or the day before. And sometimes those requests don't get played. So
There you go.
Just a thing to let you know about people. Darn. All right. Lou G says, hi, Stocks and Bonds. It's my 30th birthday on Wednesday, October 16th, 2013, and I can't think of anyone better to spend it with than you guys in the Tadpool. I'm requesting, if possible, a cover of Mr. Roboto by Styx. If not that, then Brian, I trust you to pick an awesome cover. Thanks, and love the show, Lou G. By the way, it also helps when you request a song, a cover of a song that's relatively popular and not super obscure, that's more likely for me to find a cover of. Just another little tip.
Tip, yeah. Helpful tips.
A little tip. Cover of Mr. Roboto. Now, we played a little one before the show that's done by the Mary Oaks Music Academy, which I don't think anybody can sit through for 3.5 minutes. It's cute, and it's really sweet hearing these kids sing. But
they're kind of bad.
They're kind of bad. Yeah. These kids really need to find another job.
Yeah.
But how about Phil Lewis? Now, this guy did have another job. He was the lead singer of a band called L.A. Guns. Remember them?
Yeah.
Yes, Phil Lewis. He also did some stuff with Def Leppard. And right here, he does a cover of Styx's Mr. Roboto. This was for a tribute CD called Voices of British Heavy Metal. Sounds a lot more, you know, flowery than it really was.
Sure.
Phil Lewis and his cover of Styx's Mr. Roboto.
All right. It's good times, everybody. We'll be back in a minute with Tom Merritt, some of our movie recommendations, your emails, and more. Stay tuned.
machines dehumanize.
Off into space. Man, that takes real teamwork. And here's a team of junior spacemen with an out-of-this-world breakfast that teams up V8 juice and Cheerios for flavor and energy. What a treat! A flavorful glassful of refreshing V8 juice and Cheerios with power protein plus vitamin B1 for go power. And now, here's a special out-of-this-world free offer. This moon rocket kit, both a toy and an exciting game. First, blast off. It separates in midair and lands two spacemen on a moon map.
Durga, durga, durga. This is the morning stream.
That made no sense at all.
Durga, jeez, durga, way, durga. Way to phone it in. Criminy. What are we paying you for, Fletcher?
Oh, wait. We're not paying.
Oh, never mind. Whoops.
Oops.
So there's that.
So V8 and cereal. That sounds real good, doesn't it?
Who's doing that?
It's the commercial we just played for the V8 and the Cheerios combination they were recommending there.
I blanked out.
That's all right.
Where am I?
Who are you? What are you doing?
It's no weirder than dunking a Dunford donut into Clamato, right?
Ooh, that's a good point. Who did that? Was that Tom?
That was Jury.
Jury did that. Tom chugged it.
Yeah, but then Tom chugged it. Yes, exactly.
Freaks all of them. What the hell is going on?
Here we go. Rathan, finish the click on that link in the tadpole.
All right, checking it out. Here we go. What do we got? Oh, gosh, that's great.
That's exactly it.
That's awesome. Nicely done. Yes. Where are you at, ironic name? Where are you
no,
at?
No, Irony Man did one as well.
Oh.
And I'll leave it to him to put another link in there. It's also very good, but it's
all right, look
it's disturbing. Is it right there.
Okay, let me click it again. Here we go. Oh, my gosh, Brian. I couldn't look at I can't even look at that. That's horrifying. All righty. Well, welcome back, everyone.
Yeah.
We're back.
On that note.
Yeah, on that note. I think what we'll do first is you and I will have a quick chat about this
is
stuff.
Is it time for us to have a chat?
Yeah, I can't find it. All right. So normally this is Recommentals where we bring Nicole in. But Nicole is in Missouri, and is tied up with family affairs and things that are going on there. So she is not able to be here on the show this morning to do her regular Recommental segment. So instead, I thought it'd be fun if you and I made some recent recommendations for stuff we may have seen here and there on various streaming services. I'll start with, I know I've been telling everybody how I've been watching the Battlestar of the Galactica again, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that picture of me. That's...
Yes.
Thorin, what are you doing, dude?
Wow.
Oh, gosh. That is horrifying. Okay, anyway...
All right.
Oh, that's so bad.
Battlestar Galactica,
say. I've been watching a lot of BSG, but that's just a thing we're doing as a family. You know, when there's an extra hour to kill at night or something, we'll watch that together, and we're loving it. We got to the very important, I won't spoil anything for people who've never seen it, it's a very important Starbuck episode.
Mm.
You'll know the one.
Oh, yes, I do know
the one.
Where
you're like, you're a little bit in shock when it's all over.
Mm-hmm.
And Carter, because she's the big giant softy, is bawling her eyes out. She was just totally affected by that episode. So anyway, we're really enjoying that. But outside of that, since we last spoke, I watched United 93.
Oh, okay.
On Netflix. I think I've talked about it.
I think you mentioned this on FilmSack, yeah.
I think I did. It is the 2006, was it, I want to say, Paul Greengrass movie that depicts what likely happened aboard United Flight 93 during the 9/11 attacks and kind of what happened on the ground and how all that played out and fleshed out. Mm-hmm. And I have avoided it for years because I'd heard it was great. It was up for Best Picture that year. Like, I heard all these amazing things about it. And I like Greengrass a lot. Some people don't like his shaky cam style. It's great with me. I don't mind it.
Does it all the time in the Bourne Supremacy, Bourne Ultimate, and I guess probably in Captain Phillips.
Probably. Captain Phillips is his latest film.
Yep.
I think he's amazing as a filmmaker and really tells stories with camera work in a way that others just don't know how to do. Mm-hmm. And that movie's really, really good, really kind of hard to watch in parts, and by the end of it, just kind of mind-alteringly satisfying in a weird way. It's hard to explain. Sure. But I think that movie's great, and people should see it. If you want to just be reminded of what happened that day, but also what it might be like to be people put in an unbelievable situation and watch them sort of rise up and you know, take back their dignity, even though they all lost their lives in the process. It's an amazing piece of film. I feel like it's the kind of movie that a generation removed from 9/11 can still appreciate, in the same way that a generation removed from World War II can still see something like Saving Private Ryan and kind of get the point of World War II. It's really, really interesting stuff. So anyway, I saw that, liked it a lot. I don't think I could see it again. It's one of those movies where I just don't think I could do it again. Like, it's just too much. It takes a lot out of you.
I would even personally have a problem watching it, I think, just because it's, I don't know, all that stuff feels so, still feels so fresh.
Fresh
but
and
it's
raw,
not,
yep.
You know,
it's not really, but it feels like, I was just thinking about this the other day, that literally feels like yesterday to me.
Yeah.
And it's not, it was 13 years ago or whatever. So anyway, that's how that all is. And you guys should see it. It's good. It's called United 93. That's the movie for Derek,
and
who's asking.
And it's streaming. Yep.
And it's streaming on Netflix. Brian, anything cool that you've seen?
Although this one I saw maybe almost a year ago, maybe less, but it seems like it would be appropriate to watch right around now. It's one actually that came from you recommending it to me. Mm. And it's called The American Scream. It's a documentary.
Oh, yeah.
Looks like I watched it on December 22nd, 2012. There we go.
Nice.
But it's basically a perfect time of year to watch it. It's about these three or four homemade haunted houses that these guys make in Fairhaven, Massachusetts. And it explores, you know, how much money they spend, how much they devote, how much time they devote to putting these things together. And basically it's these haunted houses that are just on the street. You walk through them in the middle of, you know, in the middle of trick or treating. And these guys just get the pleasure of having people go through it and get scared. Hmm. You know, they're not doing it to get a paycheck. They're not doing it to get donations, although I think they probably accept them. But it's really, really cool and really well done. A really good documentary.
I loved it. I thought it was amazing.
And, you know, hey, it gives you some good prop making tips and advice, too.
I agree. It's the guys what made, they're famous for another director, what am I trying to say? Another documentary, and I can't not now remember what it was.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, let's see here. Who are the directors? Michael famous, Stevenson.
Yeah, they're famous for something prior to this one. It's quite different, as I recall. Oh, crap.
Best Worst Movie?
That's the one.
Yeah, it's actually the guy. Oh, Michael Stevenson is the guy who did Troll 2, it looks like.
Yes, it's the Troll 2 Best Worst Movie thing deal.
Or he's the star. Okay, so he starred in Troll 2 and then directed Best Worst Movie and The American
Scream.
Yeah,
he's the kid.
Right.
Remember, he's the kid.
I did not know that.
Yeah, yeah.
So the kid who peed on the cookies is the guy who directed The American Scream.
Yes, that's the guy.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And he's great. It's a really affecting style. Like, he's a good documentary filmmaker. I hope he keeps making... I don't know what's next on his docket, but I am all signed up.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, that's really cool. I had no idea.
Thorne has a good point. Did anyone really star in Troll 2?
Yeah, good point.
The local Utah cityscape, I suppose, or landscape or whatever. Gotta point out these Utah connections. Yeah, so there you go. A couple of good recommendations for you. Go check them out in stores now. All right, what are we doing? Oh, we're gonna try to get Tom on here.
Bring Tom in. Yeah,
I texted him.
Okay.
I think he's online. I don't see him in the chat, which is why I texted him. Oh, there he is. Yeah, he's here.
Yeah.
Oh, I just didn't see in text. I didn't see in the chat room.
Oh, I left my phone upstairs. Sorry.
No, it's not a problem. Not a problem, sir. Wait, I didn't play your theme yet. Here you go.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
We're not calling him a tool. We're calling him Tom Merritt.
Calling him a man.
Yeah, he's calling him a man. He is the man. He's the man of tech, and he's here to talk to us about the technology story of the day, the one that's just eaten away at their planning stages of Tech News Today. Which will...
you're back.
But before we do that, and I normally don't, we usually do this when we're done talking, but I want to let people know that Autopilot Season 3, Episode 1 is out right now. Like, you can go get it.
Yay.
Is that, cool. Is that true, Tom? Can you confirm?
It is so true. Okay. It couldn't be truer.
That's true.
Because truth is not marginal.
Indeed. If you haven't,
but it's really true.
If you haven't subscribed, go to autopilotshow.com. Season 3 kicks off with our coverage of the first episode, or I guess you would call it the pilot movie episode of Wonder Woman. This is prior to what's her name coming on. I forgot her name all of a sudden.
Linda Carter.
Linda Carter. Yeah. No, this is a whole different take on it.
Yep.
With the Mint commercial star Kathy Lee Crosby.
That's right.
Oh,
you,
wow.
You may know her from many mints.
And that's incredible, right? Wasn't she?
Yes, that's right.
With John Davidson, yeah.
That was the other connection.
That's incredible.
And she was also, I guess, some amazing tennis player at some point. We uncovered all kind of weird.
That's actually where she first became famous.
Sure.
Of course. She has three names.
Yeah. Kathy Lee Crosby. And
makes you a good tennis player.
She also...
no relation to Kathy Lee Gifford.
Good point. This TV movie that eventually got retooled into the show that we all remember also features Ricardo Montalban as the bad guy. So
as Khan.
Yeah.
Well, no.
Well, sort of. He plays He plays a Frenchman, which is really odd.
we do little spoiler alert. We talk about this in the show, but like he plays a Japanese gangster in Hawaii 5-0. He's playing he's either Chinese or Mongolian. In Star Trek.
Right. That's a good point. Yeah.
What is the deal?
I don't know.
They just never wanted to cast him as his own actual ethnicity.
We don't like Spaniards here in Hollywood, so you're going to have to play this other guy.
Or back in the day when they were just like, the ethnics. They're all this. They can play anything.
The ethnics. Brilliant. You could be an Indian. Actually, probably could.
Yeah, right.
Pretty well. Anyway, so it's very exciting. Glad the show's back. Tom and I had a ball with it, and it just kicks off a brand new season, 12 episodes starting today, and it's at autopilotshow.com. All right, Tom, what is the hot, fresh, smelly tech that is driving you guys crazy today?
I think we saw that on that website, Scott. Yeah.
We might have.
Yeah, right? Yeah. There's a story about the iPhone 5C sales being down. There's a story about Intel and it's like cheap devices that are coming out with Intel inside because they just had their earnings report. But I'm most attracted to this piracy story. Have you heard of piracydata.org?
No. Piracydata.org.
It is a website created by a software engineer and a couple of guys from the Libertarian Mercatus Center that all they do is they go and they take Torrent Freak's top 10 most pirated movies of the week, because Torrent Freak kind of trolls. They pull the torrent sites to kind of figure out what's getting downloaded the most.
Right.
And then they correlate that with Can I Stream IT?
Oh.
And say, okay, of the stuff that's being downloaded the most, is it available legally? And what a surprise and shock. It generally isn't.
That's great.
That's really cool. Wow. So they're basically saying, well, if you guys made this streamable, you know, and people could actually get their hands
look
on
at
it
these
in a legal
numbers.
Way, they would do it.
So I'm checking it right now. Let's see. So they have this a list of films, Pacific Rim down through This Is the End. And
that's this week's top, or it's actually last week's top 10 most pirated, according to Torrent.
And so not streaming, no digital rental, available for digital purchase, and so it's the highest one. I can't believe number 5 is Lone Ranger. That thing sucks even if you are getting
through
illegal.
That's the funniest thing about this is looking at this and going, really? After Earth, number 9.
Yeah, would you want to pay money to see the Lone Ranger?
I think that just shows that people will download anything on torrents.
I guess so. So
I think people are more likely to download something that they've heard is bad illegally.
Yeah, because they don't want to pay for it, right?
Yeah. So this is I love numbers, obviously, just anytime anybody can take data and mash it up and create a new viewable truth so that human beings can understand it, I think is really interesting. Do you think this kind of stuff has any real impact, though? Do you think people watch this from the industry and go, we should pay attention to this and change our ways, or do you think this is just for nerds?
It has a little impact because the MPAA came out with a response. Washington Post did an article on this, and so the MPAA said, "Well, this is no excuse for piracy." Essentially, is what they said, and they're right. And the guys that run piracydata.org say our point isn't that this is an excuse for piracy. Our point is that the industry is constantly trying to get new laws passed, and in particular, the founder of this site, Jerry Brito, said, I was inspired when the MPAA started criticizing Google for not doing more to change access to infringing sites in the search engine. And I'm like, well, why should Google change their business model when you, the industry, have more to do on your side? If you made things available for streaming, they would be less likely to be downloaded illegally. At least that's what he's positing. And so he created the site to kind of show it. It's interesting, too, is the Washington Post article originally said only one of the top 10 were available for digital rental. And then they had to do a correction because it turned out that three of the top 10 were. But they said, we don't know that they were available for digital rental last week. They may have just become available for digital rental.
I see.
But yeah, you can purchase five of the top 10. You can rent three of the top 10. And you can stream none of the top 10. So I think this is a complex issue. That it's not, it's like, well, you could purchase five of the top 10, including the number one most pirated one here. And I think it's also kind of besides the point. Like, I don't think piracy ever goes away. And even if all of these were available, there would still be people downloading torrents.
Sure.
And I don't think that really affects things. I think they get the most money when they make the thing available for you to spend. They're not going to make any money off of it if you can't buy it.
Right. Right. And isn't the point is that not so much that it would eliminate. No one thinks it would eliminate piracy, but I think that it would dampen the, you know, the impact.
Just like, on it.
Well, yeah. Music proved that. Music piracy already proved this. So they go along for years and years and years where the only way you're going to get this music in this way digitally is if you go and pirate it. Well, then iTunes comes in and it goes, hey, what's up? And others come in and say, hey, what's up? Now we're living in this world of streaming, you know, Spotify-like services that are creating these other revenue streams and these other ways of getting money for this stuff. And I guarantee that the numbers of, you know, that you would, the piracy numbers are totally dampened by these legal services because it's convenient. It's not even so much of a, you don't have to appeal to people's morale. You just have to appeal to their sense of laziness. It's like, well, how much easier is it to get Pacific Rim if I just pay $8 and get it versus going through all the rigmarole and dealing with ISPs who block torrenting and having problems with caps and all the other issues that come with trying to get torrent stuff. And it's just a big pain in the butt. Plus, it might have a virus. It's not the right version. The lip syncing is all off. The whole audio track screwed up through the whole thing. The last 5 minutes is all garbled. Like, all of these things go away when you have an easy, convenient, affordable solution. So, duh, is what I'd say. Like, duh, of course. And like Tom says, none of these are streaming right now. Imagine if they were, there'd be revenue being generated. And there'd be less people torrenting. Or even if there was the same amount of people torrenting, there'd be a whole nother unserved market who's ready to buy right now, who won't torrent, who could buy right now, and you'd be generating cash.
Yeah.
Stupid. Anyway.
Well, the other side of the argument there, which I always try to think of, is they are putting these movies. Let's take, for instance, White House Down. Sure. White House Down, not streaming, not digital rental, not digital purchase, second most pirated movie. However, it is available on demand from your local cable or satellite provider, right? There is a way to pay to watch it. And that's what the industry is going to say is like, well, we have multiple ways of getting these movies. And if, you know, people just don't like the way we're providing it, well, they're babies and they need to stop stealing, stop being thieves. I don't know if they would phrase babies. It exactly. That's kind of their
attitude. I like that you did it, though, in the voice of a guy in a suit in a legal setting. they're babies.
It's kind of the way they talk, though. It's kind of their attitude. Yeah. I think it's very interesting that we have gone from complaining about digital music piracy to complaining about TV and movie piracy more often in the press, if you've noticed. What has happened to music? Music is DRM free. Yep. TV and movies have DRM.
Yep.
Music that's DRM free, no longer so much of an issue. In fact, what the complaints are around music online now is, are the royalties from the streaming services enough to pay the artists?
Right.
That's the conversation that should be happening. How are we paying the people who make the stuff?
Right.
Not how do we punish the people who are consuming the stuff? TV and movies still all about DRM. Guess what? We're still all about piracy and all about stopping people from doing things with the movies that we don't want them to.
Yeah. Plus, it all seems to coincide with bandwidth rates and the you know, how much faster people can get bigger things. And I always think that's really interesting. It's like, well, when music was the big conversation, you could get a 3 or 4 meg, you know, MP3 file, took you on Napster, I don't know, half an hour on dial-up or whatever it was at the time. Mm-hmm. And now that's just nothing. You get a five-minute song at a high bit rate.
In a few seconds.
It's like no big deal. Well, so now movies are in this place where if I want a 2 gig 720p, you know, Blu-ray rip, I'm going to have to wait, I don't know, that same half hour on torrent. And it feels like as those things go up, as people get more fiber to the door and things like this change, the movie industry is forced to counter that increased convenience of the illegal method with a more convenient legal method. And I hope they do. That would be great. Not that I don't want any of these top two movies, though. I don't want White House Down or Pacific Rim. I don't want The Lone Ranger.
I want 10 Speed and Brown Shoe, including the pilot episode, which is not available on the DVD, I'll have you know.
Right.
Or we director commentary.
Right. We'd have covered that on Autopilot by now for sure if had that been available. So help a guy out. Help Tom out, everybody.
Help me.
So you got a lot of exciting stuff coming up. 22nd, you guys will be doing coverage for the big announcement from Apple for the iPad refresh and all that, I assume.
Yes. Leo and Sarah and the Mac Break Weekly crew will be on the scene for that.
Nice.
Likely iPads, likely MacBook Pros, and maybe Apple Maverick? TV.
We're going to see Mavericks.
Sure. We'll see. At least we'll get Robert a date.
Not released, but yeah. There we go.
That'd be
good. It might come out the same day. You never know.
All right. It's Tech News Today, of course, every day on Twit, Monday through Friday. You can find it over there at twitlive.tv. And man, Tom Merritt, so many other things going on. There's Autopilot, of course, but there's always more. Is there anything else you want to let people know about?
Yeah, I messed around with Shutterstock footage and made a lot beta trailer. Actually made a couple of them. So those are kicking around. And my new book with the amazing Scott Johnson cover is available at TomMerrittBooks.com.
I've heard of that guy.
If you're interested.
Yeah, and there's some
darn good.
Some other cool.
But you know what? If you followed that Scott Johnson's work online, you may be surprised at what he's capable of with this cover.
You might be. And there's, speaking of artwork and writing, there's something cool coming from Tom here real soon that I also contributed to, which you'll learn about shortly. Well, you'll learn about in November.
Way to pull a Johnson.
Pulling another Johnson.
Should we just tell him?
Well, we can tell him. Go ahead, tell him.
Yeah, I'm going to try to make this happen by the end of the week. We are going to do a monthly Kindle single-like thing of Tech History Today. So the chronology of tech history, but available a month at a time. And Scott's going to illustrate it.
Yeah.
So the November month will be the first one you can get, hopefully soon.
Yeah. And there'll be, you know, drawings for important moments in tech history, plus a whole bunch of other tech history stuff in there. And a nice color one as well for the cover. So we're super stoked about that. Watch for that coming soon to a Kindle near you. Or something. Tom Merritt, always a pleasure. Take it easy. Ace Detect on Twitter, TomMerritt.com.
Thanks, y'all.
And have a good day. We'll talk to you later. Bye now.
Bye.
Can't find the hang up. There it is. Okay. Excellent. Yeah, dude. White House Down, cool. Elysium, The Internship, and The Lone Ranger. Top five.
All these movies are ones I'd like to watch for free, but right. But I'd be hesitant about paying for.
Right.
Well, except for Lone Ranger. I don't even want to see that for free.
No, it sucked, dude. Trust me. I feel bad for taking Terpster to see that on his trip here. Like the one night we could have seen something decent.
I promise you, Mark, this is not what movies are like in America.
I swear. Oh, look, you can download the raw data. That's interesting. So is this going to be kept up? I assume it is. I like stuff like this. Data, man. Mm-hmm. Data.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's do a couple emails brought to you by
The Instance, the World of Warcraft podcast so you don't have to. Airing weekly on the Frog Pants Network. Subscribe at theinstance.net today.
Yeah, last couple episodes had Brian Ibbett on them, and people like it when you're on there.
Yeah, it's been fun. Oh, well, it's nice of people.
Good morning,
thank you, people.
Yeah, thank you, people. Good morning, Scott and Brian with a Y. Got your name wrong. Today on the morning stream, you were talking about snow days. I had to share that we live in Arizona. We are in the higher elevation, and last year the weather had been kind of awful in the winter. And my children have had 6 snow days off of school in the last 2 years. My husband and I have been listening since Extra Life's beginning. We love the show and appreciate you keeping us laughing, Melissa and John in Arizona. All right, Melissa. Although she wrote her name as Malissa in the
email. There we go. Now we're even for the Y and Brian.
Yeah, I guess so. Did it to herself. I just don't know why there haven't been any here. Because it seems like when I was a kid, there were tons. And now there are none.
Snow days.
Yeah. Now, maybe part of it is just society around here locally has just gotten more used to it. And they're like, man, we got better tires now. Or, you know, there are more schools. Or who knows what the reasons are. But they just cancel for less reasons. I don't know. Can't figure it out.
The rumor when I was a kid, when we didn't have snow days, when we had just buckets of snow, was that our superintendent, our school superintendent, was from Alaska. And so she'd never do a snow day with Colorado because Alaska is so much worse and she's seen so much worse. Now, I don't know if that was true, but it certainly was the rumor going around when I was a kid as to why we didn't have as many snow days.
Kids like good stories to explain things.
They totally do, yes.
Who knows on that one? The Super Nintendo Chalmers. That's what
Hello, Super Nintendo Chalmers.
What a great Ralph Wiggum quotes of all
time. Yes.
Hello, Boratella and Spyro Chickas or something. I think these must be flu strains because here's the email.
I think so.
Here are a few facts about the flu, says Garrett, a microbiologist in Alabama.
Oh, smart guy. What are you doing listening to this show?
What are you doing in Alabama? Oh, that's terrible.
Oh.
That's terrible. I have friends there. Let's see. I have friends in Mobile. Anyway, here are a few fun facts about the flu. There was a study that showed people infected with the virus were more social than they would otherwise be. That's interesting.
That is interesting. Wow.
You never think about these side effects.
The flu makes you social.
Yeah, you're like, oh, I'm not going to get it, so I'm going to go out more or whatever. Influenza is crazy because if you have one strain and come into contact with another strain, they can both infect you. Then inside your cells, they can combine and form a third version of the flu. This is one of the reasons they change so much. So that sucks. You don't want that.
Yeah, I don't want that at all. I could have lived without knowing that, actually.
Yeah. Flu shots, there's third fact. Flu shots are more about other people than yourself. There's a subset of the population who can't get vaccines due to various conditions. These people need you to get them so you don't infect them. Well, geez. Fine, I guess. Love the show, though. Garrett, a microbiologist in Alabama.
That's very cool.
Yeah, it's really cool. I love that we have educated, smart people who listen to this show.
Yeah. Keep up the great work, Mike.
Yeah, I like it.
Or Garrett. Mike. Keep up the great work, Garrett.
Mike, you know, short Mike. For microbiologist.
Mike Rowe Biologist is his name.
Yeah, Mike Rowe Biologist. I'm Mike Rowe Biologist.
I'm a biologist, yes.
Brilliant. If you'd like to submit your own emails to the show, it's simple. themorningstream@gmail.com. And ladies and gentlemen, we are done. That's it for a Wednesday. Thank you all for being here. Thank you everybody who was involved with today's show. Scott Fletcher, Tom Merritt, Daryl Skeels. Nicole, we hope you're doing all right. And we'll see her next week when she gets home. And I can't think of anyone else. Slash Loot, thanks for doing our t-shirts. I can't think of anyone. That's all I can think of. That's it. Frogpants.com/TMS. Go check us out there. Links to everything there that you need to know, including our Twitter accounts, Morning Stream, Scott Johnson, and Coverville. All right, let's do a song before we go.
Okay. How about a cover of one of my favorite Foo Fighters songs of all time? Maybe my favorite Foo Fighters song of all time. This one goes out to Mike in Widnes in the UK. Says, hello, Bing and Spatula Man. On October 15th, I'll be turning the ripe old age of 31, and one of my favorite songs of all time is Everlong by Foo Fighters, and I'd love to hear a cover of that. No particular style in mind, just anything you think sounds interesting. Despite the fact that you're not in Soviet Russia, the show loves you, though. Thanks, Mike, Witness UK. By the way, Bing and Spatula Man are two DJs who appear in an episode of Daria, just in case you were wondering.
Oh, great. I love Daria. That was a great
show. I mean, who didn't know that? Who didn't recognize that immediately? All right. Yes. Great cover of Everlong. This is by a guy named Jared Campbell. Now, there's this book that came out in 2004 called Lit Riffs. It was a book that had short stories, and each short story was based on, kind of tangentially related to, a song. Sometimes it would take a piece of the lyrics and the story would revolve around those lyrics or around the artist or things like that. Really, really cool book called Lit Riffs. And the book that went along with it was fantastic. It has one of my favorite covers of all time of the song Hallelujah by Leonard Cohen, because it's so different from every other cover of Hallelujah out there. Maybe sometime I'll play that one on the show. Right. But Jared Campbell did this great version of Everlong. Give it a second. It picks up. And then it really rocks out. It was released in 2004, cover of the song by Foo Fighters.
Did the first Foo Fighters album have Everlong on it?
The Color and the Shape had it. Was that their first?
I don't remember their first album name. I just remember being blown away by that song.
Yeah,
it had Hero
it
on it and that on it, I think.
No, people are saying no.
No?
But it was on Color and the Shape,
okay.
Right?
I don't know.
Affirm that for me, at least.
I don't know. One of my favorite songs ever is their acoustic version of... Hold on. Let's see if I can find it.
Did you just ding?
Yeah, my phone. Let me turn the ringer off. My fries are done. That's what that is. Let's see. Do I have the version that is...
It was Big Me. That's right. That's the one that had the fantastic Mentos parody commercial.
Skin and Bones is what I show Avalon or Everlong on. Is that right? For the album?
Oh, really?
That's what it says.
I thought it was on Color and the Shape.
Hmm. Oh, Times Like These. This is the... I like this version of Times Like These because it's all acoustic. I think it's their unplugged session at MTV. You ever heard this? It's really good.
No. Oh, this is great.
I'm a one-way motorway.
It's just all acoustic. It's really
good. That's really cool.
Yeah, I love that one. It's better than the
first Color and the Shape came out. Well, the re-release came out in 2007. I know it was earlier than that. And that had Monkey Wrench, My Hero, Everlong, Walking After You. That was such a great
album.
Yeah.
It was a big deal. Those guys, man, way to go, girl. Way to come out under that shadow. For real. It's like you never hear that happening in a band where the drummer, this kind of nondescript drummer that nobody really paid that much attention to, just breaks out and just tears it up and is this like voice that everyone knows. And not only that, but like the guy is brilliant and says really funny stuff. And he's like, I don't know. It's just an odd thing to see happen after a Nirvana sized, you know, experience, and then having the lead singer go away. And then usually those bands just go away.
Yeah, they do.
So
yeah.
Hats off to that guy.
Totally. Made lemons out of lemonade is what he did.
Sure did, Bob. All right. It's time to hear Everlong. Here's Jared Campbell's cover. We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new show. Wendy will be here Therapy Thursday and a whole bunch more. Be here with us, won't you? Thank you.
podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.